Hi. Opening the House Committee on Rules and Public Affairs, and before we commence our public hearing on House Bill 2563, I'd like to enter a work session on introduction of committee bills. Representative Monis Anderson?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I move Legislative Council Drafts 1654 and 1940 be introduced as committee bill.
Okay, it's been moved. Any discussion? Any objection? No. Very well. It's ordered then that the Legislative Council drafts 1654 and 1940 are introduced as committee bills. Thank you. And now close the work session on introduction of committee bills and open public hearing on House Bill 2563. And this public hearing is invited testimony only. The way that we are going to limit debate on this is through presentations by the proponents and by the opponents, and we are going to only limit the presentations to 1 hour total. So what we will do is first allow the proponents the first 20 minutes to provide their presentation, then the opposition will have 30 minutes, and then 10 minutes after that for the proponents to conclude their presentation. So with that, call forward Lois Anderson.
Good afternoon, Chairman Doyle, members of the committee. My name is Lois Anderson, and I reside in Kaiser, Oregon, and I am the legislative director for Oregon Right to Life. House Bill 2563 would require facilities performing more than 10 abortions in 1 month or more than 100 per year to become licensed as ambulatory surgical centers. Oregon Right to Life has conducted numerous hours of research on the topic of regulation and classification within the state of Oregon regarding clinics that perform abortions on a regular basis or freestanding abortion clinics. And a packet has been distributed to you that contains copies of a variety of administrative rules, and it includes information that we have found regarding other regulated facilities relating to both humans and animals. And I'll get to that later.
Yeah. Okay, and if I can just interrupt at this point, Ms. Anderson has provided copies for committee members of these of this packet, and we will have additional copies made through committee services. But they're just not available right now.
Okay. In the case of freestanding abortion clinics, we have found virtually no regulations outside of ORS 677, which governs physicians. This statute describes in detail administrative requirements regarding licensure, record-keeping, disciplinary action, revocation of license, regulations regarding the Board of Medical Examiners, investigations of complaints, confidentiality, fees, liability disclosures, physician's assistance, diversion program details, and licensing of podiatrists and acupuncturists. OSHA does have rules pertaining to medical facilities. However, there is apparently no inspection or compliance system. Anecdotal information acquired from talking to several doctors reveals that OSHA has never come to their office to inspect or make sure that they're complying with those regulations. Our conclusion is that this system is not sufficient for the regulation of freestanding abortion clinics. I would ask you to look at the first attachment in your packet, which is copies of pages out of Yellow Pages. And there are pages from Eugene, Bend, Salem, Portland, and there should be one from the Grants Pass and Medford area as well. And if you will look through those, you'll find that the same major clinics advertise in the Yellow Pages across the state. The clinics do not advertise, nor are they even listed in the gynecological section of the phone book, and I do have a copy of that if you want to look at it. I didn't provide one. The major abortion providers whose advertisements appear all over the state are all in Multnomah County. One has offices in both Multnomah and Washington County. Now I ask you to look at the last page, which is looks like this. And this is out of the Oregon Vital Statistics annual report for 2001, which is the most current one that we have. And if you look across the top of the totals, it's broken down by county of residence down over here and county of occurrence across the top. You'll see that about 75% of the abortions are done in Multnomah County. If you look down the side, it's 31%. Only 31% of the women who have acquired these abortions state Multnomah County as their county of residence. And so I think we can conclude that the advertisements are working and that these clinics are functioning as freestanding clinics who perform abortions as outpatient surgery. I don't believe that these function as normal doctor's offices. Women don't usually travel several hours to go to the doctor. There are usually local doctors to go. I'm sure there are exceptions to that, but I think that the rule is that these abortion clinics are functioning as their primary business being abortion. The administrative rule that governs ambulatory surgical centers, it's Chapter 33, Division 76, Section 101. In their definitions, it states that an ambulatory surgical center means a healthcare facility which performs outpatient surgery not routinely or customarily performed in a physician's office and is able to meet health facility licensure requirements. And then there's an exception. In the case of outpatient surgery involving the termination of pregnancy, procedures routinely and customarily done in physicians' offices are the following: dilation and curettage, suction curettage, sharp curettage, and dilation and evacuation. All these procedures are invasive. They require the dilation of a woman's cervix. And in the dilation and curettage, the first procedure listed, a loop-shaped steel knife is used to cut the developing child into pieces and remove it, and then the placenta and other pregnancy tissue is scraped off of the wall, the uterine wall. In a suction curettage, which is the most common abortion procedure in Oregon, a powerful suction, again, the cervix is dilated, and a powerful suction tube with, I had it described to me as not a sharp edge, not a smooth edge, somewhere in between, so that it can scrape the inside of the uterus to remove all the tissue, and it powerfully suctions the fetus and all the other, the placenta and amniotic fluid out of the woman's uterus. In a sharp curettage, I was told that this is an older type of procedure, but it is still done in Oregon. It's the same technique as a suction curettage, but it is done manually. That is to say, it's not done with suction. It's done by scraping the developing child along with the placenta and the other tissue out, and that completes the abortion. The last procedure that is listed is actually done as a late term procedure, a second trimester procedure. And in this procedure called dilation and evacuation, sharp forceps are used to grasp the parts of the baby, which are twisted and torn away. And because the fetus's skull may be hardened at that time, at some point the skull has to be caught and crushed to get it to complete the abortion. I think certainly from a layperson's perspective, after reading these descriptions, that they are invasive to a woman, and they also carry serious medical risks. They include uterine, bladder or bowel perforation, infection, which is quite common, hemorrhage, cervical laceration, especially with the later term abortions because the baby's bones have begun to harden, and also inflammation of reproductive organs and complications related to retained products. These freestanding abortion clinics perform these invasive procedures that have serious medical risks. Now, currently, within the Oregon Administrative Rules, a wide variety of facilities and practices have on record far-reaching, exhaustive rules regarding procedure, sanitation, administrative, and licensing requirements and restrictions that at first glance, and second glance actually, are far more detailed than what you find governing physicians' offices. And these facilities include the freestanding birthing centers, which is actually a part of the ambulatory surgical center chapter. But these centers even have to submit their plans to make sure that their hallways are wide enough in case of an emergency. These are only meant for low-risk births, but there are detailed rules and requirements that they have to meet. The first one that should be in your packet is the Oregon Administrative Rules for the Registration of Tanning Facilities. And this is has statutory authority, and the set of rules requires that the risks of tanning are to be revealed to the client, and also that there are specific rules about how the tanning booth is supposed to be set up, what the ventilation requirements are, the cleaning and maintenance of that facility, warning signs, training requirements, and it goes on. There's actually also a specific advertising rule that they can't say that tanning is safe, or they can't say their tanning is safe. The next set of rules is for body piercing. And if you want to open a body piercing shop and comply with the Oregon Administrative Rules, you have to show that you have the proper equipment, that you have the ability to maintain the equipment, that you have access to that the chemicals are stored correctly, that there are clean towels and linens accessible, that the bathrooms are accessible and clean at all times. You can read on. There's also requirements for client records. You have to have proof of age. Under 18 has to have a parent's permission. And there's also a code of conduct listed for body piercing professionals. And so you could say, I suppose, that it does say in there that anybody with a high school degree can go out and open a tanning facility or body piercing shop, and so these type of things should be regulated so that health standards are maintained. But I found it interesting that also veterinary clinics have minimum standards in the Oregon Administrative Rules, and that should be next in your packet. Division 15 of the Oregon Administrative Rules have minimum standards for veterinary medical facilities, which of course veterinarians are highly trained, educated, they have to go to school for a long time, and they have continuing education requirements. And some of the minimum standards for veterinary clinics are storage of the drugs and air quality, water, lighting, the examination area, the laboratory, the radiology. There are many rules that they have to comply with to set up their veterinary clinic. Now, the reason for bringing all this forward wasn't necessarily to bore you with all of these administrative rules, but I think it's important to take a look at that because the goal of this information is to bring your attention to the expansive regulations the state has already decided upon to bring on these kinds of facilities, which can affect the health of Oregonians and Oregonians' pets, and to highlight the vast discrepancy when analyzing the regulations on freestanding abortion clinics. These clinics currently have no regulatory requirements in Oregon rules or statute regarding sanitation requirements, facility requirements, or any procedure for inspection. Also, we have found that because of the vague regulations regarding these facilities, it is very unclear, especially to the average person, who has jurisdiction over these facilities in keeping them accountable to the current or future regulations. You may not have noticed in the yellow pages, the copies of the yellow pages that I gave you, that in each ad for Lovejoy Surgery Center, they state they're Oregon's number one provider for 32 years, Oregon's only state and federally licensed abortion provider. I think that this is a set of rules which is already being complied with by Lovejoy, by over 40 facilities in the state of Oregon that cover a broad spectrum of health care from plastic surgery to eye laser surgery. It has not proved to be onerous or burdensome for these facilities, and providing the freestanding abortion clinics with the status of ambulatory surgical facility will only help create and sustain an environment of safety and order to a practice that has yet to be thoroughly regulated. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize for being late, and I missed the very beginnings of your testimony here. So I wonder, I have a couple of questions about your background and credentials. Do you have a medical license or a nursing license or something of that sort?
No, I'm not a medical professional. I'm not an attorney.
Well, that answered my second question. Thank you very much. A couple of others, if I may.
Follow up.
Mr. Chair, this is a different topic. Now, if I understood your testimony correctly, you indicate that there are no regulations that apply to these clinics?
Chair Doyle, Representative Barnhart, I did state earlier in my testimony that there are regulations regarding physicians, mm-hmm. and there are some OSHA regulations regarding medical facilities in general, but we found no evidence that those OSHA, that there is any inspection process or compliance process. And so the statement about no regulation specifically refers to, I can find it in my testimony, specifically refers to sanitation requirements, facility requirements, or procedures for inspection.
Okay. A follow-up, if I may. You know, I will admit that I have not reviewed this 35-page document labeled Division 76 Healthcare Facilities that you provided before today, and so I'm going to ask you some questions, a question or two out of ignorance, really,
okay.
of this document.
Representative Barnhart, if I may,
yes, sir.
Just as we're, again, on our timeline of trying to make sure that, and I don't mean to inhibit your question at all as much as, you know, if we end up going to work session on this, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for questions from members that might give you the opportunity to review those documents in advance.
In the meantime.
If you choose.
I'll ask
you
one simple question, then, if I may.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm not going to the details that I was thinking about. The rules that you're describing, or that apparently we lack, would apply to all of these facilities, wouldn't they not? And not just to one facility that does one particular set of procedures or it does one particular set of things. I mean, the definitions here refer to healthcare facility, hospital, long-term care facility, ambulatory surgical center, and all of those things together. So the criticisms that you have, I assume, would apply to all of those things, would they not?
Chairman Doyle, Representative Barnhart, actually, no, what we are asking in the bill is that freestanding abortion clinics, which are now regulated, I put in quotes, as physician's offices, mm-hmm. Would be brought under the ambulatory surgical center rules. We are not criticizing the current rules. We like the current rules. Lovejoy Surgical Center complies with them. We think that the other major providers in Oregon should also.
I now understand the gist of the testimony. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you,
Ms. Anderson. Victor Hopper. And Mr. Hopper, we're going to just limit you to only about 3 minutes. At the conclusion of the opponent's testimony, the balance of time that is for proponents, you may be coming back, but at least for now, we'll just limit it to 3 minutes.
Thank you, Chairman Dahl. My name is Victor Hopper. I reside in Mount Angel, Oregon. I am a paramedic in the state of Oregon. I have served the public as a paramedic for over 20 years. Over the years, I have been honored with awards such as Paramedic of the Year and have received the National Star of Life Award twice. Today, I'm here to talk about the most important issue in medicine. That issue is patient care. All paramedics care most about providing the best in patient care. House Bill 2563 would assure the best patient care by guaranteeing that all facilities have the best equipment available to their patients. Over the years of service, I have cared for patients that have had complications from abortion procedures. I've been called to their homes to take care of them. These complications often consist of severe abdominal pain and severe hemorrhage, that is to say, bleeding. As a paramedic, we treat these patients and we transport them to an emergency department. And today, in the interest of the best patient care possible, I encourage the legislature to assure that all the equipment that is technologically available be present when procedures are performed. Thank you.
Sure, Representative Flores.
Mr. Hoffer, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hoffer, as a paramedic, you transport patients by ambulance, is that correct?
Chairman Doyle, Representative Flores, that's correct. I'm a transporting ambulance paramedic, and I've done so for nearly 22 years.
And do you report any of these complications that you perceive as a result of abortions to the state?
Chairman Doyle and Representative Flores, I do not directly report these to the state. Often what happens is a person suffering complications such as severe bleeding and hemorrhage will call the physician or their clinic, and the clinic will advise them to call 911 so that they can have immediate treatment in the pre-hospital setting rather than wait to get back to a clinic or hospital. So I have not done so directly.
Other questions?
One more, if I may. What part of the state do you work in?
Chairman Doyle and Representative Barnhart, I have worked in many parts of the state. As a paid paramedic, I have worked in the county of Washington County, in Multnomah County, and in Clackamas County. As a volunteer paramedic for over 20 years, I have worked in Marion County and Mount Angel.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and for the presentation by the opposition, I will turn the gavel over to Representative Moss Anderson.
Thank you. Mr. Richard Allen and Julie Powers, do you want to come up? Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Dr. Richard Allen. I'm a past president of the Oregon Medical Association and a board-certified obstetrician gynecologist. I currently serve and thus represent the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists as a delegate to the American Medical Association, and as such, I've been asked to represent the Oregon section of the ACOG as well as the Oregon Medical Association here today. I'm here in opposition to House Bill 2563. Not only does House Bill 2563 target abortion providers by violating the equal protection rights of physicians by treating them differently from providers of comparable services, it also undermines the authority of the Oregon Board of Medical Examiners as a state licensing authority that sets the standards for the regulation and practice of the medical profession in Oregon. There are also regulations for facilities accredited by the Joint Commission on Hospital Accreditation. The sponsors of H. Bill 2563, I'm told, claim that they target abortion providers in order to make abortion safer. There are claims that imposing exceptional and intrusive regulations on abortion facilities is necessary to protect women's health are false and misleading. The simple fact is that legal abortion continues to be one of the safest medical procedures performed in the United States, and singling out abortion with discriminatory regulations serves the anti-choice goal of making abortion prohibitively expensive and increasingly difficult to obtain. Furthermore, House Bill 2563 imposes additional expenses to maintaining facilities that offer abortion services, thus driving up the cost of health care. In a state that already has limited access to reproductive health care, creating additional difficulty in accessing abortion services by unnecessary regulations for the purpose of creating obstacles violates the constitutionality as stated in Planned Parenthood versus Casey. Thus, I would urge the committee once again to leave regulating the practice of medicine to the already existing regulatory bodies. There is no need for further intrusive government regulation into the doctor-patient relationship. Thank you.
Questions? Ms. Powers.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Julie Powers. I'm a nurse practitioner, and I'm Director of Quality Management for Planned Parenthood of the Columbia Willamette. I am here today to state my opposition to House Bill 2563. House Bill 2563 unfairly targets abortion providers, as stated in the decision of Planned Parenthood versus Casey. In 1992, the U.S. Supreme Court concluded that a regulation on abortion is an unconstitutional, undue burden if the purpose or effect of the regulation is to place a substantial obstacle in the path of a woman seeking abortion prior to viability. Like other healthcare providers, abortion providers are already subject to federal and state regulations and licensing. Every year, the Board of Pharmacy audits our Planned Parenthood facilities. Additionally, all of our healthcare providers are licensed through the state and credentialed through the National Accreditation Verification Program. In the United States, legal abortion is one of the safest medical procedures. It is many times safer for the health of a woman than childbirth. In fact, risks associated with other outpatient surgical procedures, such as dental procedures and plastic surgery, are far greater than any associated with abortion. Planned Parenthood of the Columbia Willamette provides a range of reproductive health care services, with only 4% of our services related to abortion. House Bill 2563 would create additional financial burden to women and men seeking reproductive health care. Anti-choice proponents of House Bill 2563 are attempting to prevent women from obtaining access to even medical abortions, which is a non-surgical abortion method, by imposing excessive and costly regulations on facilities in which abortions are performed. Under the guise of promoting women's health, House Bill 2563 actually poses a threat to women's health by hindering access to abortion services. House Bill 2563 is unnecessary because abortion providers already comply with state and federal laws governing health care providers who perform similar services. Thank you for allowing me to testify today.
Thank you. Are there any questions? All right. Dr. Leigh Thornton, Dr. Grant Higginson, and Maura Roach. Dr. Leigh Thornton.
Yes, I'm chairman and members of the committee. I'm Dr. Leigh Thornton. I've been in practice of medicine with an obstetrician gynecologist for over 35 years, practicing in Portland. I've provided abortion services since it became legal in Oregon in 1969. I am speaking in opposition to the proposed law 2563. The state of Oregon has regulations ruling on medical procedures, medical practice, and the abortion clinics have been under those regulations, as well as all other types of practice. There have been no exceptions. I've been present in clinics when the state has been there investigating just on their routine monitoring. OSHA has been there. Health and Human Services has been there. And the Health Department has been there. And so this is adequately, already adequately monitored. The procedure is one of the safest procedures in medical practice. It can be done safely in the procedure in the facilities that are presently doing them. There have been many, many studies done in this country and in other countries where the procedures have been studied to see about the safety of them, and the safety has been confirmed that it can be done in freestanding clinics, in doctor's offices, and in surgery centers and in hospitals. There is no difference in the complication rates in any of those facilities. And thank you for allowing me to testify.
Any questions? I have one question. When a woman has a miscarriage, can that be as services for a D&C be provided in a physician's office?
In a doctor's office?
In a doctor's office.
It can be, yes.
Thank you. Phil, or Representative Barnard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one question. Is there any medical reason that you know of why abortion procedures ought to be singled out for regulations different from other medical or surgical procedures that might be performed in a doctor's office?
Not because of the procedure, but you may individualize care in a specific patient because she has a medical illness of something not related to abortion. Just like if she was going to get hand surgery, you would not do it necessarily in the same setting. You would do it in a general hospital. But for abortion per se, there's no reason that should be singled out.
Just a follow-up, if I may. If you had those complications that you were describing in connection with any other kind of procedure, you would do the same thing, wouldn't you?
Yes, you would just take them to a general hospital.
Right. Thank you. That's what I thought you were saying.
Right.
Representative Close?
Yes, I just had a question. If you look at the definition of ambulatory... ambulatory surgical facility. It says that it means a healthcare facility which performs outpatient surgery not routinely or customarily performed in a physician's or dentist's office and is able to meet health facility licensure requirements. I'm trying to understand why, you know, these Planned Parenthood facilities and other abortion providers wouldn't qualify under that definition. Could you tell me that?
They are licensed. I don't know. They have the permission of the state to fulfill the requirements of monitoring. Like any other doctor's office, any other clinic, they meet the same requirements.
Well, we've been handed out these regulations that apply to those types of facilities that do not apply to abortion clinics. So I'm just trying to understand why they shouldn't be included under these.
What procedures are you talking about?
Well, these are the ambulatory surgical facilities, which this bill asks that they be included under these statutes. And it seems reasonable to me that since they do seem to be under this definition, that they would be included in these.
Those facilities are designed for more extensive, more complicated procedures.
More complicated than...
Yeah, they take longer, and they're more involved surgeries.
But wouldn't you agree that the risk of infection and so forth that are handled by these statutes should also apply to this procedure?
I don't think the risk of infection changes regardless of where it's done. If it's done under sterile situations, it's done in a safe setting.
Well, it concerns me that we're not protecting women under the existing statutes that we have, and I think that would be a good idea.
Are you saying that the state of Oregon is not protecting the women having abortion?
I'm saying that if if they're only protected by ORS 677, which we've had testimony, that that's the only statute that governs this procedure, and that just has to do with physicians, then my concern is that women may not be protected as they would be if it was under this part of the statute, which is rather extensive.
Physicians do all the procedures. So if they're under protection, if they're being protected by procedures done by a physician, the physicians do the procedures in these settings. I mean, so if a physician does it always.
Thank you. Okay. Dr.
Higginson. Great. Chair Doyle, Vice Chairman Liz Anderson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Dr. Grant Higginson. I'm the State Public Health Officer with the Department of Human Services. I'm here today in opposition of House Bill 2563. I just want to start off by saying that the Health Services Department of Human Services does a number of things, and one of the things that we do is regulation. There clearly are some facilities that are involved in very complex, high-risk procedures and need to be licensed facilities, such as hospitals. There's also been cases where we have found out through complaints and through investigations of complaints that there have been problems with healthcare facilities that need to be licensed. And a good example of that is last session we came to the legislature with the request to license outpatient dialysis facilities, and that was granted to us. We do it. Health services have the responsibility for licensing outpatient ambulatory surgical centers, and what this bill would do would be to amend that law to include abortion clinics, those providing more than 100 abortions per year or 10 in a calendar month, as part of the ambulatory surgical center statute. I think when we're thinking about this bill, we need to think of policy, and I can see a number of policy issues here. One of them is, should we license abortion providers and specifically license them as ambulatory surgical centers? And our position on this is that when we're doing regulation, we should be doing regulation based on the risk of the procedures being performed. And we do not see at this time that abortions represent increased risk compared to births or compared to other procedures that are routinely done in physicians' offices. From our vital statistics data, we see about a third of births have some reported complication during pregnancy and delivery, while when you look at abortion complication rate, it is below 2%. And again, as was mentioned by another presenter just recently, when you compare abortion complications to other procedures like liposuction and plastic surgery or some dental procedures, those appear anyway to be more risky than abortion procedures do. Another policy question is whether or not abortion providers should be licensed as surgical centers, and particularly since the trend is towards less and less surgical procedures and more medical procedures for abortion, I would seriously question whether or not that is appropriate. Another policy issue is, what is this going to do to the availability of abortion services? And this was previously noted. Very likely there would be some current abortion providers who would not want to become licensed as an ambulatory surgical center. I believe there would be decreased access to abortion services, and as we've discussed in previous bills, that would very likely lead to later term abortions and also to illegal or self-induced abortions, which we think has increased risk for the patient population. And then I think a final policy issue to think about is, and this is an issue really Dr. Allen already mentioned, is should the state be getting into the business of regulating doctors' offices and clinics? And to do so really would be a massive undertaking, and again, I would question whether there is need for that given the what I feel is lack of data showing that there is a real problem here. And then similarly to other bills, I would also testify that this would be a real administrative issue for us as well. It would be health services that's responsible for actually doing the licensing of these facilities. We would have to hire staff, develop rules, identify all the facilities that would apply to the new rules. We'd have to do inspections. We would then license, and then we'd have complaint investigations as well. So it is a new program with a substantial fiscal impact. My assumption would be that this would be a fee fee-based, fee-supported program, and so consequently it should not have any fiscal impact, well, it should not have a budget impact, although there would be substantial fiscal impact, but again, I question, do we want to get into this undertaking when there is questionable risk? So with that, I'll close.
Any questions? Representative Berger?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. The discussion so far prompts my question, Dr. Allen. Do obstetricians and gynecologists who perform abortions pay more for liability insurance than those who do not perform abortions?
No, not to my knowledge, no.
They pay the same?
Yes.
Representative Close.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Higginson, can you tell me under what conditions that the Department of Health and Human Services would go into an abortion clinic?
Vice Chairman Anderson, Representative Close, the only way we would do that is if we were following up in a complaint on a licensed facility. So if there was a hospital or an ambulatory surgical center where we got a complaint about an abortion, then we do have authority to go in and follow up and investigate that complaint. When we're talking about a physician's office, that complaint would go to the Board of Medical Examiners, and it is their then responsibility to follow up and investigate that complaint.
Well, if the freestanding abortion clinics are not included under your Oregon administrative rules on ambulatory surgical facilities, then how would you have the authority to go in?
Vice Chair Morris Anderson, Representative Close, we would not. Right now, we would not. Just like we would not have the authority to go into the Salem Clinic if there was a complaint about a procedure that was done there. That would be, again, referred to the Board of Medical Examiners, and they would be the responsible agency for following up on that complaint.
Mm-hmm. So wouldn't you see a problem there with women might not be protected in that situation if you don't have the authority to go in and investigate?
And Vice Chair Morris Anderson's Representative Close, I believe that the Board of Medical Examiners has more than adequate authority to go in and investigate those complaints, and I think that's what they're supposed to be doing.
And how often do they meet?
Pardon me?
How often do they meet?
Vice Chair Morris Anderson, Representative Close, I'm not sure how often the Board meets. I think it's a monthly or every other month basis.
Any further questions? Mara Roach.
Chair Doyle, Vice Chair Monis Anderson, members of the committee, my name is Mara Roach, and I'm here today to testify on behalf of the Pro-Choice Coalition of Oregon. I'm going to go briefly through my testimony and then highlight a few things. We are here to express our opposition to this bill. This bill purports to promote maternal health and safety, but in fact it is a measure that simply adds to the cost, often prohibitively, of providing abortion services by imposing new and unnecessary regulations on healthcare providers. No other medical procedure is subject to such unwarranted regulation. We believe that this bill unfairly targets physician offices and outpatient clinics in which abortion is performed and subjects these facilities to regulations that are not imposed on comparable medical facilities. These regulations are designed to protect a patient's health, and why aren't these regulations applied to other outpatient facilities that do similar types of medical procedures, or even those that have higher rates of complications than the procedures that are being done in abortion clinics? I guess one thing in particular I want to point out is that I believe it was North Carolina that has imposed this kind of regulation, and there's been an estimate done in that state that in order to pay for the cost that would be necessary to convert their facilities into ambulatory surgery centers, that the cost of abortion would rise by $365 per procedure, which I think in many cases would be just about doubling the cost of the procedure. In addition to that, facilities like Planned Parenthood, who I think it was 4% or 5%, as Julie testified, of the overall services that are provided in that facility are abortion services, then again, to convert that facility and meet all the requirements for doorway widths and hallway widths and ceiling heights and those types of physical plant adjustments that would need to be made would mean that our birth control services would also have to become more expensive. Our pap smears, our colposcopies, the things we do for precancerous cells, etc., those types of services would all have to come to bear the cost of this type of an adjustment to our physical building and really make all of our prevention services that Planned Parenthood has been committed to providing in this country for going on 80 years now more expensive and more difficult for women to obtain. In addition to that, there's been a lot of discussion about Lovejoy Surgery Center. While Lovejoy does offer abortion services in an ambulatory surgery center as set out under Oregon state law, they also do a lot of other surgery in that facility, surgery that warrants being in an ambulatory surgery center, and that's why they are an ambulatory surgery center. So with that, I will just say that I believe that this bill does not provide protection to patients, but is simply an attempt to place medical services out of reach. 78% of counties in Oregon are without an abortion provider, and the practical effect of this bill is to all but end abortion services in Oregon. Thank you.
Any questions? We're down ahead of schedule, 8 minutes. I'll turn it over to the chair.
Do we get extra points for that?
That's right. We'll make sure we note that, Maura.
I want you to give that 8 minutes away now to the other side. Those are my 8 minutes.
That's right. Okay, Dr. Ken Wilson, bring you up for closing. And let's see. I guess it's only 10 minutes left, not 18.
Okay, Chair Doyle and committee, I'm Dr. Ken Wilson. I graduated from medical school in 1981 from the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston. After an additional 8 years of residency training in three different subspecialties in surgery, I taught at OHSU Medical School for about 7 years full-time. I'm on the board of directors of a local outpatient surgical center, and I would ask you to consider the following as I relate to the rules governing patient treatment in every other medical facility in Oregon. Every Oregon hospital and outpatient surgery center is required by Oregon law to meet certain criteria for operation. First, Oregon law requires a state licensure through Medicare at the federal level. The following lists only a few of the myriad of mandated essentials. They evaluate the length of time in the operating room, building layout and safety, fire codes for patient exit from the OR, assistants helping in the OR must meet certain standards, and medical gases for anesthesia, even nitrous oxide and oxygen must have approved certification. To meet these criteria, each medical facility must pass inspections from multiple state agencies, such as the fire department. Patient charts must meet specific H&P guidelines. Quality assessment with peer review must occur frequently. And the facility with which I work, there every 3 months, I have to fill out a list of complications on every patient that I've treated in that facility, verifying I followed up on that patient till he or she was completely healed. And as a surgeon, I cannot do just any procedure I desire. I must pass a delineation of privileges test, verifying that I've recently performed that procedure and am actually up to date on the training. In addition, the outpatient facility must prove it has contracted with a local hospital for the emergency transport of any patient in case of a serious complication. That's pre-contracted to pick up those patients. And yet abortion clinics skip all of these safety requirements. There are no legal safety requirements when women have an abortion in a clinic. So why does this bill single out abortion clinics? Well, it's because the only way a hospital or outpatient surgery center can meet these Oregon-mandated laws is to go through the state Medicare official. unless these abortion clinics are doing abortions on 65 and 70-year-old women, they would not meet Medicare guidelines. That is exactly why other states are now protecting women through specific, separate legal regulation of abortion clinics. The least protection requires contracting with hospitals to transport those women in life-threatening emergencies. This glaring omission is one reason deaths have occurred in abortion clinics. Women have no legal protection, and yet animals do. Oregon law mandates veterinary clinics to have emergency equipment on site for animals undergoing procedures. Yet Oregon law is silent when women go to abortion clinics. There are no requirements for emergency equipment on site. And I ask, why is it that animals receive better protection than women? Now, these abortion clinics might argue they do have emergency equipment available. Fine, I'm sure some do. Forgive my skeptical nature, but voluntary compliance does not seem to work when money is involved. But voluntary compliance is really not even the question. The question is, why do animals have legal protection, yet women have no protection? And how do we know all abortion clinics have emergency equipment and procedures available? In fact, we know they do not. That is why women have died at abortion clinics. That is why doctors have not just been sued for malpractice, but even charged with murder across these states. And that is why other states like Arizona, Texas, and South Carolina have passed bills like 2563 to protect women in abortion clinics. That's why federal courts have upheld laws requiring abortion clinics to come up to the legal standards for other medical facilities, including veterinary clinics. In September 2002, the U.S. Court of Appeals upheld those regulations in South Carolina. The vast majority of elected officials clearly see the need. I would like to speak to Dr. Thornton's point that the ones done in the surgical centers are, quote, more complicated and take longer. I perform my carpal tunnel releases in a surgery center. They take 3 minutes, and they're certainly safer than opening a woman's uterus and scraping it out. Its opposition has also decried the, quote, high cost to bring abortion clinics up to other medical facility standards. Then I would suggest that it proves this bill is needed if they are that inferior. It's also been mentioned that OSHA has been in these sites and even the health department. I would point out that OSHA only guarantees the safety of the employees, not the patients, and the health department does not inspect medical equipment. Therefore, this bill places Oregon alongside other progressive states enacting laws that finally protect women undergoing abortions, and it's about time. In 1977, the U.S. Government Center for Disease Control reported that 7 times more women had already died from legal abortions than illegal abortions prior to 1973. And it seems today that we have gone from illegal back-alley abortions to legal back-alley abortions. Isn't it time we required abortion clinics to operate out in the open alongside other medical facilities? It is time, because women deserve equal protection. This bill protects women. It protects the legal standards for abortion clinics up to the level of veterinary clinics. It requires abortion clinics to operate up to the same safety standards as every other outpatient surgery clinic in Oregon. And our daughters deserve equal protection under law. That is why I support House Bill 2563, and I ask you to provide legal protection for women in Oregon.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Monis Anderson.
Yes, thank you, and thank you for your testimony. Do you feel that a DNC that's performed on a woman who has a miscarriage is any different than performing a DNC on a woman who is having abortion?
It depends upon the scope of that question, but I think that medically speaking, they're the same procedure. And there are certainly risks even to the DNC for a miscarriage as there are for an abortion. They're the same risks.
So this bill would then not allow a woman who miscarries to have a DNC in a physician's office?
Not at all. If you read the bill, what it says is that if there are more than 10 are performed per month or 100 per year, that they should not be performed in a doctor's office, or if it is, that doctor's office be counted as a surgical facility. And I would agree with that. I perform minor operations in my office. And if I perform, 10 a month or 100 procedures per year in my office, I think I've ceased being a doctor's office and really have become an outpatient surgical center to a degree. And in that case, I would say I should be regulated as an outpatient surgery center.
Thank you. And a follow-up?
Sure.
And also, you stated from a study that legal abortions had more deaths, yet there was a study, and I wish I could remember, but between 1973 and 1997, the number of deaths per 100,000 decreased from 4.1 to 0.6
mm-hmm.
deaths. So it actually... I would refute that statement in the sense that it seems that there are less deaths now from legal abortions versus illegal.
Yeah, I would say that was the U.S. Government Center for Disease Control study. That was U.S. government study. It's not a private study, so they have a pretty good handle on what's going on. Unfortunately, there are no good statistics on abortion deaths because they're not regulated. They're not reportable. And they're often reported as other things other than abortion-related deaths.
Do you know how, follow-up?
Yes, follow-up.
Would you know how many deaths there are from an appendectomy or a tonsillectomy? They are much higher than those.
Yeah, and those are actually, they're not done in doctor's offices. They're done in hospitals, which are already as safe as you can get.
Okay. Representative Close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Doctor, I've been looking through these OARs, these Oregon Administrative Rules, And they're on the ambulatory surgical facilities, ASF, I suppose it's called. On page 2, it talks about the types of procedures that are followed in these particular facilities. And it says, and they're done in physicians' offices, and they are the following. Dilation and curettage, suction curettage, sharp curettage, dilation and evacuation. And I guess my question is, I believe those are all forms of abortion.
Yes.
So, just to clarify, if that's done in a physician's office, it's covered by these OARs. But if it's done in these freestanding facilities, it's not. Is that true?
Right. Yeah, and that's why I think we really need to have the not just a one or two procedures a month, but if somebody is doing a large number of operative procedures in the office, that should be regulated.
Okay. We have run out of time, however. I'm thinking that since we have an opponent asking a question about the proponent, that's probably not going to be a concern on our time issues here. So, Representative Barnhart, finish up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hope we're all here looking for the truth and that we're neither opponents or proponents. We're simply evaluating the bill. The question, a few minutes ago, Doctor, in response to Representative Monis Anderson's question, it sounded to me as though you said that if you conducted more than 10 surgical procedures or 100 surgical procedures a month or 100 surgical procedures a year in your office, that you probably ought to go out and get a license as an ambulatory, now I'm going to have to look up the word, surgical facility.
Right.
So in that case, wouldn't it make sense to amend the bill to remove the reference to abortion and simply say that if a doctor is going to perform 10 or more surgical procedures in a calendar month or 100 or more surgical procedures in a calendar year, that they have to be performed in one of these clinics or in the hospital? Wouldn't that make sense, given what you've suggested to us?
Chair Doyle, Representative Barnhart, good question. I would say no, simply for the reason that doctors aren't performing those kind of numbers in their offices. The abortion providers are the only ones that I know of that are performing 100 procedures a month in their offices.
Thank you.
Okay. And Representative Barnhart, I apologize for trying to categorize your perspective here. We did have some additional testimony provided by the League of Women Voters of Oregon, and we will enter that in as part of the record. About anything further then? Thank you, Dr. Wilson. Appreciate the testimony from both sides of this issue, and we will close the public hearing, and without anything further, we will adjourn.